Good morning, everybody, whether in the church building or online later in the week. You're very welcome. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He saw the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day and the darkness night. There was evening and there was morning, the first day. And every day since, God has recreated a fresh new morning for us to enjoy. So you're very welcome to join us in our time of praise and worship this morning. And also just a thought that came to me in my Bible readings this week, which I found really helpful, and you might just be able to relate it to someone you know. That sometimes in our lives we think we are in the dark and it seems that there is no light around us, yet God's Spirit is hovering over us and watching over us. So be encouraged with that thought. To more mundane matters, there's a bring and share lunch today. If you haven't brought anything to share, that doesn't matter. Still come, there will be plenty, and there'll be opportunity to hear some of the stories of Carol's time in Malawi, working with the AquaAid Lifeline charity, and any donations will be given to that charity. Two events this evening: there's the Alive course here in the church at 6:30, and the prayer meeting on Zoom at 8:00, then back tomorrow morning for the community cafe. This week sees Ascension Day, and then there will be the 12 days up until Pentecost. So on Thursday, we start the global Thy Kingdom Come initiative, which has been going for many years now. And we're especially encouraged to pray for 5 people during those 12 days. Not a big ask, just 5 people for 12 days. And I don't know about you, but people just pop into my head and I just know that, yep, they're going to be my 5. If that doesn't happen for you, or if it hasn't happened for you, then just think of your friends, your neighbours, the people you see in the street, and ask God to lay 5 people on your heart. There's a joint service with St Mary's, the Anglican Church, just down the road at 6:30. Next Sunday, which is also Christian Aid Sunday. And it says here, advance warning. I think it should actually be an advance invitation that on the 17th we'll be joining here for a Pentecost praise and prayer evening. And again, we've invited our friends from St Mary's to join us on that evening. Anybody who'd like to play an instrument, you don't have to be, the prom standard, just someone who loves playing. Have a word with me and we'll work out which songs will be best for you to play in. Talking of which, we do have some people who are accomplished musicians, but more to the point, great worship leaders here. So, Sarah, over to you.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Please stand if you're able, and we'll say some words together as we prepare our hearts to meet with God. So let's say together, open us up, God, for all you have for us today. Open our eyes, God, to see you reflected in every human face. Open our hearts, God, to know your love for us, vast as the ocean. Open our ears, God, to hear the whisper of your Spirit and the wisdom of your word. Open our hands, God. This is your ministry, your kingdom, your power, your glory. Open our lips, God, that our mouths may sing out your praise. And we're going to do that now.
Thank you. even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. We make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Father, we just pray that as we stand here and worship you this morning, you will continue to do miracles in each of our lives. How often we expect just the big miracles and forget that each day we can praise you for the small miracles that sometimes go unnoticed. But we pray today we would all bear testimony that at the end of the day we can praise you that you have done a miracle in each of our lives. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone. I hope you've had a good week. I'm sure Clive will be along in a moment. I have called him and told him that it's time. Oh, I think I can hear him coming now. Oh, my goodness. You're ready to go, but you may need a wetsuit. Where are you going? You're going to find the dolphin thing, of course. The dolphin. Not a dolphin exactly. It looks like a dolphin. It lives in the sea. It's like a giant fish. It makes a funny noise. And it follows boats. Well, I'm totally confused now. Whatever is it that you are going to find? You don't remember what it's called. It's like a dolphin and begins with a P. Oh, do you mean a porpoise? That's it. Can we go now? You want me to come as well? It was my idea. I don't think I said anything about going to find porpoise. You're sure I did? I said that today was all about finding our porpoise. And you really want to find it. Oh, I'm sorry, Clive. I think you've misunderstood me. I said that the theme for today is about finding our purpose. That's not a dolphin then. No, I'm afraid not. Let's take these off. Today, we are thinking about the purpose for which we were created. The reason why God made us and what purpose he has for us. Sometimes people take a long time to find out their purpose. Yes, you're right. Sometimes people take a lifetime to discover their true purpose and to realise that it relates to God. Today, we will hear the story of a man named Saul, who thought he knew his purpose, but then he had his life changed completely because he met with Jesus. And once Paul met with Jesus, he was able to see the whole world in a different way, and he discovered a new purpose in the way he lived his life. He found out how much he was loved, didn't he? Yes, he did. Loved and forgiven. And knowing that gave him peace and a hope for the future that he wanted to share with everyone. So our purpose is to know we are loved and forgiven, and to love God too. Well, that's the most important part. But after that, our purpose is to live our lives in such a way that everything we do and say brings glory to God. That's not always easy. No, it's not. But when we trust Jesus and walk with him, he helps us to live out the purpose for which we were made. So our purpose isn't really anything to do with dolphins. Not in a general sense, no. So you won't need these then. Not today. You're a bit disappointed about that. But it's very hard to eat cake while you've got those on your face. And next to loving God, you think your purpose is definitely to eat cake. Well, that's something to think about. But let's say goodbye first. So it's goodbye from Clive, and it's goodbye from me. And we'll see you again soon. And be blessed.
Well, before the kids say goodbye to us, can I just say a prayer for them? Yes, Father, we thank you for the children. We thank you that you have brought them here for a purpose. We pray that you help us to help them to understand their purpose. And not because parents are coming to church, so they have to. Or they visit grandparents and they have to come to church. But the word, Lord, you have sown in them from the beginning, they will continue to grow up with that and understand your love for them. We pray for your blessing on them as they go out to their kids club. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I invite all the kids to go. Penny. Shall we pray? And somewhere along the line, I'll be inviting you to call out names for people who need our prayers. And those of you on the prayer rota, I'll be sending the rota out tonight or perhaps this afternoon. And I would like to invite anyone who wants to be on the rota to contact me and I will put you on the rota. It would be good to have as many as we can so everyone gets involved in our prayer of intercession. Let us pray. Yes, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. In your presence, Lord, there is liberty. In your presence, Father, there is peace. There's healing. We thank you this morning that, Lord, we are here before you, that you are touching every life. You are mending every broken heart. You are healing us. We thank you for your healing power. We thank you for a beautiful day, the day you have made. Help us to acknowledge and rejoice in it. You are the miracle worker. You have worked many miracles in our lives. So, Heavenly Father, we worship and praise your holy name. We thank you for that wonderful plan of salvation. We thank you for being our refuge in times of trouble. We choose to put our hope in your word and all the things of this world. In you alone, our hope is found. We know sometimes it can be hard to focus on you when all we see around us is uncertainty, the darkness. But we know you are good. We can always trust in you, in your word, and your promises. We come before you as a church, may we continue to flourish in those things that binds us together and bring glory to your name. We pray for the coming months as we enter into the summer days. Help us to enjoy the things around us, family, friends, our community events. Help us to keep and remember those key elements, the love for our neighbors, the compassion, patriotism, hospitality that define us as an individual, the Christ-like, as a church and as a nation. Father, we pray and we bring to you our advertisement for a ministerial assistant. We pray that you lead the right person to apply for the role. And may you help us to receive him or her with a warm heart. That whatever, Lord, you want to bring through that person to us, you will receive. In Jesus' name. We thank you for all the upcoming community activities through which we are connected to our lovely community here. We pray that you help us to throw your everlasting light into the darkness in our communities, and we will be the light out there. Loving Father, keep us ever mindful of your word and the truth that is containing a very plain message of scripture. Use us as a light in the world to point the lost men and women to Jesus, and help us to continue to shine that light and love to many hearts. We pray for the Alive cause that this will continue to be a blessing unto those who attend. So, Lord, we bring to you the weak in our society, the sick among us, and the marginalized in our communities. You are the good shepherd, and we shall not want. We know when we walk through those darkest valleys, we will not be afraid. Your rod and the staff, they protect and comfort us. So at this moment, Lord, we just want to call out names of people who we want to pray for and we want to remember in our prayers. Frank and Linda.
Sandra. Nick, Mary, Jenny,
Ingrid,
Wojtek.
Father, we bring all these names to you and those we haven't called out. We bring them to you for healing, for comfort, your provision, and your blessing on them. So, Lord, we bring the world to you. We pray for peace in the Middle East. God of love, we ask that you turn the hearts of our world leaders to your ways, your purpose, and give us peace. Let your peace be established in the world. Through all the various elections in different countries this year, we ask that you raise leaders who have got the heart and the desire for your purpose here on earth. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you this morning. We thank you for the many lessons that are written in the book of Acts. Help us to live righteously in your eyes and act justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly before you. Open our eyes to see the wonderful things contained in your word, and may we grow as a church in grace and in knowledge of our salvation, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we bring Diana to you now as she brings your word. Not her, but your word. May we receive and be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our reading this morning is from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Amen.
I just thought I'd put the porpoise up there. And I will have to be very careful that I don't get those two words confused. But today, we are coming to the last session in the Alive series, which we've been following over the last few weeks. And over this time, we've been thinking about some of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus to a variety of different people. And we've considered how our hope, our needs for love, hope, peace, and freedom can be met through an encounter with Jesus. In the same way that the lives of his followers, Mary, Cleopas, Thomas, and Peter, were turned around by the encounters that they had with the risen Jesus. You see, Jesus knew what each one of them needed the most, and he met them at their point of need to enable them to experience a new life that is only possible through his death and resurrection. And that new life is available to each one of us too. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life in all its fullness. And that's what it is to be fully alive in him. And today we're thinking about finding our purpose, the need we have to know what our purpose is. And how can knowing our purpose make us feel more alive? And is it possible to feel truly alive if we think we have no purpose? So, we have some quotes here from some famous people. Winston Churchill, he said, it's not enough to have lived. We should be determined to live for something. Now, this next person, I had to look him up, Fyodor Dostoevsky. Some of you will know who he is, no doubt, but he is a very famous Russian novelist. And he said, the mystery of human existence lies not in just staying alive, but in finding something to live for. And this last quote is from Mark Twain. The two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you discover the reason why. And some people never find the reason why. Because the sad fact is, it's possible to go through the whole of your life without ever finding out your true purpose. So, lack of purpose. when you don't know what your purpose is. Studies show that a lack of purpose increases your risk of depression, suicidal thoughts, poor relationships, and substance or alcohol abuse. But it's nothing new, because the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes describes a life that seems meaningless. Having tried everything under the sun, intellectualism, hedonism, and materialism, the writer concludes that it is all meaningless. And perhaps you may resonate with some of that. But we should also consider that it's possible to think we know our purpose, but to be mistaken. We could be journeying through life with a misguided sense of purpose. So in his book, Alive, this is the book that accompanies the course. It's really worth reading, and if you would like a copy, I have some available that you can have a look at. But Dave Smith, the author, recounts this story of an American rifle shooter, Matt Emmons. And at the 2004 Olympic Games in Athens, he was one shot away from winning the gold medal. He aimed at the target, which was 50 metres away. He took a deep breath, he fired, and he hit a bullseye. But the computer failed to register his score. Emmons shrugged and called over the judges, who also shrugged. Was it the gun or the computer that was malfunctioning? As it transpired, it was neither. Emmons had hit the wrong target. And he instantly dropped from first place to eighth place, and from winning gold to winning nothing. And in his book, Dave Smith likens this to what it's like to miss our true purpose in life. We may feel that we are doing well, that we are in effect hitting the bullseye, but we need to ask ourselves, are we aiming at the right target? Are we looking for purpose in the right place? And there are two wrong places that we often look. And sometimes we're encouraged to look within ourselves. There's lots of self-help books about finding purpose within ourselves. And although it's worth recognizing our own gifts, passions, abilities, personalities, and life experiences, these are the things that shape us and make us who we are. But we need to remember that we are not perfect. We are flawed. And our own perspectives are not reliably accurate. So if we look within ourselves, we may be hitting the wrong target. Another place we're often encouraged to look is to look to other people. And it is good to listen to the wise counsel of others and to follow the example of good role models. But we also have to remember that they are also flawed. And if we follow others too closely, we also follow their faults. Or we could fall into the comparison trap that we heard about last week. And we could be led to thinking that we are not good enough. So, how can we discover our true purpose and our unique calling? So, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren says these words. It's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You didn't create yourself, So there is no way you can tell yourself what you were created for. It is only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, our destiny. Every other path leads to a dead end. So to find our purpose, we need to go to God. And as we do so, we look into his word. I'm really pleased that Liz started the service today with those words from the beginning of the book of Genesis, talking about God creating the world. God created us. And he created us for a purpose. And as we look into God's word, we find so many examples that help us to understand our purpose. But today we're looking at the example of Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul. It's the story of a man who had a very misguided sense of purpose and yet was radically transformed by an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. And there are three key lessons that we can learn from his story, which may help us as we search for true purpose. So the first one is transformed motivation. And we heard how Saul met with Jesus, but let's just put a little background to what led up to that encounter. Who was Saul? He was born to Jewish parents in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, and that gave him the privilege of being a Roman citizen. And later he moved with his family to Jerusalem and he became a student of the Hebrew scriptures, studying under the famous rabbi Gamaliel. He was a devoted Pharisee and he described himself as being zealous for God. And he was so passionate about his purpose that he was determined to destroy all those who were causing discord by turning to the way and following Jesus. He witnessed and approved the stoning of Stephen, and he was instrumental in leading the persecution against the early church. But it was on his way to Damascus, where he was intent on finding and imprisoning more of those who followed Jesus, that Saul had an encounter with the risen, glorified Jesus himself. Now, this was not just a vision or a spiritual encounter, as some people might claim. This was a physical encounter. He saw the light and he heard an audible voice. And he describes this encounter later in his letter to the church at Corinth, where he writes, "Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord?" And later in that letter, he writes this: "Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also." And it was this meeting with Jesus that led to a completely transformed motivation. From being openly hostile to the followers of Jesus, Saul became their champion. From being the greatest threat to Christianity, he became the greatest defender of the faith. Saul's encounter with Jesus was life-changing. Today, we can also have an encounter with the risen Jesus. We may not have a physical encounter like Saul did, but we can experience a spiritual encounter with Jesus through his spirit. And for some, that encounter will result in a dramatic turnaround. But for others, they will experience a more gradual transformation. But for everyone who meets with Jesus, there is a transformed motivation and the discovery of a new purpose to life. The second key lesson in finding purpose is having a change of perspective, an eternal perspective. So if we live our lives thinking that this is all there is, we are greatly misguided. Remember what I said earlier about the writer of Ecclesiastes, how he wrote that everything under the sun was meaningless? To live our lives under the sun is to live as if there is no God and no ultimate purpose. It's living as if there were no eternal life and no resurrection. And the concept of eternity is hard to grasp. But Dave Smith, in his book, uses the analogy of a length of rope. The first meter of the rope represents your current life. And eternity is like the rest of the rope, which goes on without end. What does it mean to think about life going on without end? Is there a life after death? And if so, what does it look like? In his own writings, Paul is one of our best sources for understanding what our future will look like. A future without fear of death, but with a hope in resurrected life, where death is not the end, but a doorway into eternity with Christ. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul wrote, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's an eternal perspective. And he wrote to the Corinthians and the Thessalonians, explaining that we are not just physical beings, but that we have a body, a spirit, and a soul. That when our physical body dies, we continue to exist in our spirit. And for Christians, that spirit goes immediately to a place of rest and joy in the presence of Jesus. Paul writes how we can live our lives in the expectation of a better life to come, emphasizing that the resurrection of Jesus is the guarantee of our own future resurrection. And he reminds us in Philippians that as Christians, our citizenship is in heaven, and that we can eagerly look forward to the time when Jesus will return to bring everything under his control and to transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious resurrected body. And it was this understanding of eternity that enabled Paul to endure much hardship and persecution in his life. His motivation had been transformed, but his perspective on future had been transformed too. If we have the same eternal perspective as Paul, it can give us fresh insights into our purpose. It can give us confidence to make the most of our lives now, knowing that we are loved eternally, that we are created to be loved and to love God forever. Knowing that we are created for relationship with him in this time and place and for all time and beyond time. Knowing that there is a future in which we, like Jesus, will receive new bodies and live with him in a new creation. This knowledge demands a response, and that response is also part of our purpose. So in 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says, Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. And in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul writes, you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. A transformed motivation and a life lived with an eternal perspective help us to live out our lives according to God's purpose and to give him the glory. And these first two things that we've considered are foundational in our ability to find our purpose. They are applicable to each and to every one of us in the same way. But as well as recognizing our overall life purpose, we also need to go on a journey of discovering our own specific pathway, our unique pathway. How do we do that? Firstly, recognize your uniqueness and celebrate it. We are all different. We are unique. We're not all on the same pathway. Paul had a unique calling. His calling and purpose took into account the life experiences that he'd had, his knowledge, his skills, his characteristics. His calling utilized all that had been put into him over the years and continued to grow him in his service to God as he sought to glorify God in all that he did. Paul's experiences are not necessarily your experiences, certainly not mine. And your experiences will not be the same as those of the person sitting next to you or sitting behind you. You are you. You have a unique set of fingerprints. You have a specific combination of personality, background, life experiences, passions, and spiritual gifts. In recognizing our own uniqueness, we can give glory to God for the person he made us to be and understand that we don't need to strive to be like someone else. We don't need to compare ourselves with others. I am me and you are you, and our pathway and our unique purpose, our own calling, will be different. The second thing is to take a holistic approach. Don't limit yourself to only considering one area of your life. Most of us have several different responsibilities: families, studies, work, community, church. What might be your unique purpose that encompasses one or more of these areas? Thirdly, go on a journey of discovery. Your unique pathway in life is almost always a journey of discovery, which involves self-awareness, experimentation, and consultation with those you trust, as well as direct revelation from Jesus. Spend time with God in prayer, in reading the scriptures, and in being still with him to hear what he might be saying to you. It's also worth recognizing that we go through different seasons throughout our lifetimes. And we thought about that before Christmas when we were looking at the fruitfulness course. Think about what is right for now, and that it may not be the same calling that lies in the future. because as we all grow and change, so might our unique calling. And the fourth thing, we need to receive ongoing guidance and strength. And we can get this from one another as the body of Christ. But primarily, we need to get guidance and strength from God through his Spirit. Paul wrote this, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, but not I, but the grace of God that was with me." And in the Message version, it's translated like this, which I really like. "It was God giving me the work to do, and God giving me the energy to do it." That is the guidance and strength from God by his Holy Spirit. Paul's initial call was from God, and the ongoing fulfillment of that call was also from God. And it's the same for us. God calls us to do a task, to do it with him and for him. He gives us the strength we need, and he guides us as we seek to serve him. And that takes us back again to our verse of the year. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Trust him, seek him, lean on him, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He will reveal your purpose. He has a plan for you, and he has a purpose for you that is intricately woven into his grand design for the whole world now and for the world to come. Our journey in finding our purpose begins with knowing that we are loved by God and by loving him in return. That takes us to knowing the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus and being transformed by him as we confess our sin before him. And it leads us to walk in eternal relationship with him, to be conformed to his image and to glorify him in everything that we do. I wonder where you are on that journey. On that journey of discovering your purpose. Perhaps you have never received Jesus for yourself. And maybe you want to begin that journey of transformation and step into a new life with him today. Perhaps you have accepted Jesus, but recognize that you need to have a transformed motivation. Maybe you realize that you are doing things which need to change because you are heading away from Jesus instead of heading closer to him. Perhaps you are someone who has never looked at life from an eternal perspective, but now you want to continue your eternal journey in the company of Jesus who loves you. Perhaps you just want to be reassured of the next steps on the pathway that you are walking and to keep walking with Jesus beside you. We're going to have a few moments for reflection. It's an opportunity to reflect on our own journey and to make a response. Sarah is going to play quietly. And as she plays, maybe talk with God in the stillness about the next steps that you want to take. Maybe just listen to his still small voice. This is your opportunity to respond to what God may be saying to you, to respond to the call of Jesus on your life, to respond to the promptings of the Spirit as he seeks to draw you ever closer to Jesus, who loves you. Father God, you have made us all unique, and you know us so well. Father, you know the things that we have been thinking. You know the words that are on our hearts before we even say them. And Father, we give to you now our thoughts. We give to you our desires. And we ask that you will continue to guide us into the true purpose that you have for us, for our lives, that we might be those who fulfill the purpose and the plans that you have laid for us, that we might love you, and that we might bring glory to your name in all that we do and all that we say. Amen. So before we sing our final songs, I just want to say that if there is anybody who feels that they would like to talk about the things that they have been thinking of in this time, please do speak to one of the leaders before you leave this place today. Thank you, Sarah.
Please stand if you're able.
Sacrifice of a broken heart, Jesus. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? All my words cannot tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. You deserve my every breath, for you've paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my sin away, there defeated my sin. Open up the gates of heaven and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as the praise of your name for the things you have done? All my words cannot tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
Savior, I surrender all.
Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me.
As we come to the end of our time together, go into the world knowing that God is with you. Go into the world with the peace of Christ upon you. Go into the world with the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Please do stay and have coffee, which will be served in the lounge. And after that, we will have the bring and share lunch in the hall. And I hope that many of you will stay for that.